The Glorious Church is a reflection of God's beauty, character, and nature. The Glorious Church is God's workmanship, created for good works, light for a dark world, and salt for the earth. The Glorious Church must be pure and impactful, for it is the only institution mandated to bring life and hope to the nations. Plug in to the annual theme of the Church of Pentecost for 2020, a glorious church to possess the nations. Come, let us drink deep from the word through which we are being cleansed and washed to become a radiant church. Welcome to Pentecost Hour, God's timely word for our dying world.
Many thanks to the Almighty God once again for this space to interact with you. We are still behind the word of God. We are behind life. And as you listen to the word of God, expect that you will never be the same again. Because we have said worship is to access life. Worship is to access life. We studied last week that in worship, saints don't merely seek the Lord, they find him. For there in worship, God approaches man. Worship is not just an expression of gratitude, but it's also a means of grace, whereby the hungry is fed, so that the empty are sent away rich. Now we need to desire the presence of God and delight in his presence. The psalmist says that he wished that he would just be a gatekeeper in the house of God than to be somewhere else. He desires the presence of God. When people don't come before God with this panting and longing for him after the inner man, we said that they can forfeit the grace or the supply of grace to their souls. And then we ended by saying that it is this kind of attitude that is breeding all the coldness and then the lukewarmness among Christians today. Brothers and sisters, we need revival. We really need revival in the churches. There should be freshness and reawakening the world. If we have experienced COVID-19, we need to experience revival. We need to experience it in our time. There's so much lukewarmness. And we need to be tired of lukewarm service. And the curse sometimes it brings. You see, in his book, Highly Effective Churches, George Banner did a survey among regular church-going adults in America. Now, this was in the late 1990s. Now, the survey indicated some findings. The survey indicated that one-third of those people have never experienced God's presence at any time.
Now,
they have not experienced God's presence. They don't know what is that. Half of them that they have admitted that they have not experienced God's presence in the past year. Let's say that if he did it in 1999, they were saying that since 1998, they have not experienced the presence of God. Yet, They go to church.
See,
the younger they are adult, the more likely they are to state that God is a distant, impersonal reality. That, you see, they think that God is too far. They don't understand God, yet they go to church.
Na impeninu mu mranti wa hano wo mu de dodo anara se wo hu nyame se nyame wa chirichirichira nyame emmen won na onye onipa obetumi ni na di ehia.
I don't intend to superimpose this survey that was done in America on all of us. No,
na madwene enye me se me ba be fasa hwehwemu ya wo ye wa America e de aba be toto ye de hu da bi.
But his concern is our concern too.
Na mum de na e ha no no e ye de a e ha yen so.
That people don't experience the presence of God is a concern.
Se nipa entumi nyi nyame ni mpa enye ehia no e ye de a e ha dwene.
In our churches today,
wo yen sori mu ene no,
we have agreed that members run a kind of shift.
Ya je tum se
and we say this without actually thinking about the implications. And what is birthing all that? Now, if you have a congregation of about 500 and you go to church on a particular Sunday, you meet 200 of them, it means about 300 of them are not interested in church. What is causing that?
It is our sorry ma. What do I a hanum? Nasa woke sorry, ne mu aham yenu eba sorrya. Not just a mu bea hamien sa ama sorry wung ni enje a sorry baho. Dina edisa de iba.
When the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, and 300 of your members aren't happy and delight in the presence of God, there is something wrong about that.
Brown Jones of Fonny say, Meniji, Missa was saying, Missa, or my uncle a radifi, Nasa Yako radifi, not was sorry, Mamu, Ahamiansa, and Ma sorry, dear, and then not Bibi Waha Atuchima.
This is a concern.
We are there, a hagrini.
We need real revival.
You hear or show bomapa.
We need real revival.
You hear or show bomapa.
Now, how is it possible, brothers? That a God who so desperately loved to bring his creation closer to him.
Say, onyamia, or dose, or dinner body a beban in chamber chanuesia,
seems to be on voluntary seclusion.
Nah, what groom pempen, bisua, I said, they're watching a home every year, home.
People are not experiencing his presence. See, the answer to why people are not experiencing his presence is many and varied. But I shall attempt to say that one of it, which is the topic for today, worship is to assess life.
Is
the worshipper's spirit and goal. The worshipper's spirit and goal. The member's spirit and goal. The parishioner's spirit and goal. George Barna has said, and I quote,
George Barna say,
worship is not attending an event, but a state of mind and spirit. It is about a state of mind and spirit. That is why we are talking about the worshipper's spirit and mind. You see, in the book of Acts, chapter 17, Paul compares the church in Thessalonica and the church in Berea. Their spirituality or their nobility was in their attitude, their Bereans, their attitude towards the word of God, if you like, towards worship.
See,
let me just read from verse 17, Acts chapter 10.
Asumafu nyuma no,
17 to 12. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea.
Na entemara enuanun mi ja Paulo ene Silas kwan anajukọ Berea.
On arriving there,
na odru hono,
they went to the Jewish synagogue.
Wo call you da fo share them.
Now the Berean Jews,
na Judah fo na wo hono,
were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Here we see something about the believers in Berea. They received the word with so much eagerness, and then they examined the word to find out if what Paul said was true. And scripture says that as a result, many of them believed. As did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. They eagerly received the word and examined it. That was the state of their mind and the state of their spirit. This is their spirit and their goal towards worship. You see, the Puritans in their spirituality and quest for true and fulfilling worship, scared some ideals that worshippers should kind of observe. The Puritans' ideal and goal in their approach to public worship was outlined as this. See, they lived mainly in the 16th and the 17th century. That is why I'm saying that it was outlined as this. But it is relevant for us today. See, for them, number one, the worshippers, the parishioners, I'm talking about worshippers, not the ministers, not the pastor, not the priest. You see, every one of the Puritan congregation had a stake in fulfilling worship. Every one of them.
Se de yeka ino oyanka samfa osofo ana asori pemi ana se obi ho ne wo yeka safa asori bebia ho na puritan fo ne de na wo mumu biara se oyɛ sofo se onye sofo na neni di osori echi.
So they had ideas like number 1
echi na wo hyehyeye bi na de di kan ene nidie
reverence
nidie ana obu.
Today it is common to go to church and you see people just talking and they are in church, but their mind is not on God.
Others
be fidgeting with their phones. Some, including even elders and ministers, will be receiving calls in the church house. And then they'll go out and respond to the calls and come back as if there is someone out there who is greater than the one they are before.
Na ebinu moha sempo waya sofo ana se waya sompeni fo na sori ba wati aso dem no obehun se won tetefun e frɛ na obe dwane fra so dem ho akakoti tetefun no ansa na wasan aba asɛde obi a ososene nyame no e wa bonten ho a
ofrɛ wo. Soon forgetting that the Lord is always in his holy temple.
Sisi ano asɛde ye wure ye fi sɛ onyankopɔn wo na sori fie kronkron mu
reverence.
Nidie any obu
faith
GDA.
Without faith, it is impossible to see God.
Na se GDA ni mwa obi entu mi ehunyame
faith
GDA
faith
GDA
boldness coming before God with that kind of boldness to obtain grace and mercy. So they encourage them to come before God with boldness. They also encourage their worshippers to come before God with eagerness.
Want
to receive eagerness. They also encourage them to come before God with expectancy.
Expectancy.
We are not just going to gather, but we are going to access life. They told their parishioners to church with delight. Wholeheartedness. Wholeheartedness. Concentration. Concentration. Self-abasement or humility. Above all, they told them to come with passion to meet and to know God. Because church is not just attending an event, but it is a state of the mind and the spirit. This is for all parishioners. Does everyone have a stake in fulfilling worship? They inculcated this specific preparation. You see, they inculcated specific preparation towards achieving those things that they have
outlined.
For worship, not only on Sundays or the Lord's Day, but for all services. As a regular part of the Christian's inner discipline of prayer and communion with God.
See,
this was in an attempt to meet the ideals. The ideals they have sketched. They want to prepare people to actually come to church with delight. With wholehearted devotion. That they will come and concentrate on the mighty one. And they call this preparation heart preparation. Or heart work. Heart preparation. Or heart work. You see, this heart preparation was in response to issues like, how does one prepare for worship? How does one prepare for worship? How do you rouse yourself to seek the Lord in the light of some scriptures I'll be reading? How do you rouse yourself for worship? In the light of scriptures like Psalm 15 and Psalm 24. Now I'll read Psalm 15 and portions of Psalm 24. Lord, who may dwell in your secret tent? Who may live in your holy mountain? Now, this is a question. Because the questioner has so many things going on in his mind.
If he said,
this psalm is certainly from David. If you were there when Uzziah died, and then you are afraid of the ark, you would have asked the same question. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? See, where the tent was supposed to be,
He's
saying that who dwelled there? Someone touches the ark and the person dies. Now who is going to dwell in the Holy of Holies? Where the tent is? Who may live on your holy mountain? Then he tries to provide some answers. The one whose walk is blameless. Who does what is righteous?
No, Odi asentre ne.
Who speaks the truth from their hearts?
Na oka na kumem nukre.
Yeah, I'm just remembering someone, a false pastor.
Me kaya oso fubi.
You ask him a question and then he attempts to answer and then he gets it somewhere and then he goes like that.
Me kaya oso obi ana osi oyo so fua.
It's better that he goes like that. Whose tongue utters no slander? Who does no wrong to a neighbor? Now, as I bring out his supposed response, check whether you can just go to the house of God with this kind of things in your spirit. Who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord? He keeps an oath even when it hurts. And does not change your mind. Who lends money to the poor without interest? He is not saying that lend it to someone without it, but he said to the poor. You yourself, you know that this person is poor. He says that if you lend the money to the poor, and he says, I'm taking some interest. According to David, this is not Jesus. According to David, he said that you can't dwell in the holy temple. Who does not accept a bribe against the innocent? Whoever does these things will never be shaken. You see, he does not. And so if you do that, you will never be shaken. What of the others, the opposite? Psalm 24. From verse 1. The earth is the Lord's.
As I say,
and everything in it. The world.
We are seeing.
And all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas. And established it on the waters.
Now, verse
3. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god? They receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. So how do we really assess the presence of God in the light of these scriptures and have the needed satisfaction and fulfilling worship? See, in the Old Testament, worship was towards a small box in the Holy of Holies. All worship was towards the ark. Now all worship is towards the presence of God.
Now, sorry, now ko onyamieni.
If one does not experience this presence, it is a will be
ensan kan enimpa na.
Then real worship was in the church was not attained.
Enye na wa sorry mu no ye nya osode a eyo osode mapa.
That is why the Puritans stress and prioritize hard work.
And unti na wanga ne from Puritan for no wo bo modern say wo be
or heart preparation. Certainly, when you hide iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. So the prescribed and prioritize heart preparation. Before public worship. Before going to the presence of the Lord. And every one of them is part of it. This one was not just prescribed for the priests, but for worshippers. Sometimes people complain there's no revival in the church, presiding, and there's no due. But what do you do? What part? What kind of fire are you bringing to church? You are part of the problem, but you ought to be part of the solution. Then we said that in line with their thinking, one of them, George Swinnock, expressed it this way.
Na yeka se wonwa dwini mu no womu ba kwa friend George Swinnock no say na okan.
This is how they thought of the heart work.
Yeah. And he said, "Na wadwene akoma yesiesie no ho.
Prepare to meet thy God."
Sesie hu se wukoshia unyankopon.
Oh Christian.
Oh Christoni.
Not Christians.
Enye a Christopher.
Oh worshipper.
Oh nipa woko sorry.
Take thyself to thy chamber on Saturday night.
Fa hu koshia upie memenda najo.
Take thyself.
Wankasa fa hu.
To thy chamber on Saturday night.
Fakoshe upie memenda najo.
Confess and bewail thy unfaithfulness.
Na wonukredia weni na paimu eka.
Under the ordinances of God.
Ewo onyankopon hyehyemu.
Look at the scripture.
Mohwe the okay.
And then weigh and confess your failings, your sins before God in your closet.
Hyehyronum na fesusu.
Shame and condemn thyself. For thy sins. Entreat God to prepare thy heart for thy religious performance. So he is saying that examine yourself. Then confess. That is why they are saying shame and condemn yourself.
And they said then
entreat God. To prepare your heart for the religious service that is going to happen the next day. The oven of thy heart
that's
baked in, as it were, overnight will be easily heated for the next morning. Now you see that he has finished dealing with the sin.
And
he is saying that now going before God in your closet in preparation against the following day's service is like an oven, fire in an oven.
And he says that
it will easily be heated by the morning. It means that when you go to church the following day, you still find that the oven has fire.
Now, Opa Chese says, "Jano, adechia no pana, ube unse ayeshe." And Opa Chese, ube kwa sorry de muno, na ujano eridere mokamroka.
Let's look at the conclusion. If thou wouldest thus leave this heart with God on Saturday night. Now, the heart is prepared.
night.
He
says that if you leave it with God on Saturday night, thou should find it with him in the Lord's day. In the Lord's day morning. This is an old English. You find it with him the following morning. That is Sunday morning.
It is a wujamo nyankopon a adechi anopa eyekwesi ada nopa no obehu akoma no se ewo ne nche.
See how these people could change the world.
Mo hu de ntia sankrofitu mi se wi ase.
You don't just go to church.
Yen sori anko asori.
We prepare our hearts.
Yes, yes, ye ho.
Every parishioner have a stake in it.
Asori bebia wo mu chefa.
He says that when this heart is prepared,
now say sakuma say wo siesie,
you leave it in his hands on Saturday night.
Na me minda na ju jai e she ni nsemu a.
You find that it is still blazing. There's so much warmth in the heart Sunday morning.
Obe wo se nduko se da no pan na wa kuma January dere mo kam
kam. What a church and what experience we are going to have.
Na say sa asori ben na su ehun ben ye benya.
Every one of us is approaching God on a Sunday morning with some warmth.
Na say ye na ye ba sorry kwesi ada na ye na ye jare dare
a heart without evil.
Akoma boni enim
because the previous night we have labored and pleaded God to forgive us.
If he said anajochemu no ya bompa ya ye juma ni aso nya miso mfa ye boni nche.
With that kind of heart you can confidently come before the throne of God.
Na sa akoma yi no obetumi edinam ye na bo yakopon ahinwani.
And the mighty one would dwell in our midst.
Na otumfo no betena ye ntem.
You see brothers, 30 seconds of private prayer after taking your seat in church is not enough to access God.
Ebusiafue, say woko asori na wo bompae eni tete eduasa. Enya de a betumi de wako akodru bebia wonyane.
When you just enter into church, you take your seat, say, God.
Woko aso de mu a wotena se a na wase oh Ebrade na enu anu no Debi.
What we need at present?
Ye ye hia ni say say
to deepen our public worship life.
Abema yen begemu osori aye ma.
It's not new liturgical forms.
Enye asori ye enshisha ye epuno.
Not new forms of liturgy.
Enye asori ye enshisha ye puno fofro.
Not worshiping in the state of the art kind of building.
Enye asori danya.
We've sophisticated musical instruments and a great choir.
Ah, yakoto insenkwa kesiye.
I'm not saying that those things are bad. But let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
Na momeye kenkan Korinto fomba etosu mienu eti edu.
I'll read just the first line in verse 7. 2 Corinthians 10. Just the first line in verse 7. And I'll prefer the New King James Version if you have.
Koronto fo enwoma etosimie nu etidu nchichemu nsun ensensani edi kan no pe.
Do you look at things according to the outward appearance?
Mohwe honam eni ade.
The NIV says that you are judging by appearance.
Bible no ba ko eche se de etueniwa ena mubu ho aten.
But the King James is saying, do you look at things according to their outward appearance?
Na King James ni say mohwe honam eni ade.
Now he was saying certain things before he made this statement.
Na na o kan sem bi ansa na obekasemfo e.
For though we live in the world,
ewo m say ewo wiase mu de.
We do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish argument, every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we'll be ready to punish every act of disobedience once our obedience is complete. Then he said, do you look at things according to their outward appearance?
What is he saying in the light of this teaching today?
Let me say
that when we used to worship in sheds, and on the palm fronts, we sought the Holy Spirit. Now that we are worshiping in the state of the act churches, don't let us think that the formula has changed. He is still the strength of the church. Amen. Sometimes we buy new chairs and we think that is revival. New chairs in church. Say hallelujah. And we think that is revival. This is, you're only looking at the outward appearance of things. We dedicate new church building and we say, hallelujah, God is here, God is now here. God does not live in temples made by human hands. The formula does not change. He is still the strength of the church. We are looking only at the outward appearance of things.
The
Ark of Covenant signified the presence of God. It never walked.
Anante.
It was carried.
Yes, we
are. Not by animals.
Yes,
but by human beings. So if you really want the presence of God to come to where we worship, we human beings, the parishioners, we must carry him.
Through
heart preparation and heart work. Effective spiritual worship largely depends on what we do in our closets with God ahead of public worship. See, the Puritans' commitment to pre-service preparation by worshippers testify that reliance on the Spirit of God as a source of inspiration and strength is what fulfills, bring the fulfillment in public worship service. It is the Spirit's presence in worship that matters. Not the numbers that have turned out to church. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life. I don't want to end this broadcast without giving you the space to give your life to Jesus. Jesus is your life.
Yes,
he gives life. And once you receive him, you have eternal life. He is your hope. He is the creator. And he wants to be your Lord. If you want to give your life to him, wherever you may be, I want you to just repeat this after me. It is a prayer of confession. Dear Lord, today I recognize that I am a sinner. I confess my sins. And I repent of them. And I accept Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. Be with me forever. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen.
Amen.
If you have prayed this prayer, then I want you to know that you are born again. You are born the second time by the Spirit of God into the family of God. God be with you as we make a day together next week. God bless us all.
How God is entreating us to prepare our hearts, to prepare ourselves always and always to be able to come before Him, before we can experience His presence. It is as though we have always been rushing into His presence without any form of expectation. And so we go and return from His presence without any transformation. But now we want to go before God again. As His word has come to us wholeheartedly, in reference, in faith, in eagerness,
yes,
concentrating upon Him, that He will bless us And in his presence, there will be transformation.
With
our hearts transformed. To be able to receive from him. So let's go before God tonight. And ask him that he transforms our hearts. That tonight, when we come before him, as we have come before him, and whenever we are coming before him, we will come with expectation. And the Lord will transform us into his image. To be like him. Let's go before God. Ask the Lord to work on our hearts. To work on us. Father, Lord, we come before you. We continue to stand in your presence. We know we have no work according to how you have spoken to us. We have always been rushing and rushing out of your presence without concentration. We've often referenced to things outside your presence. More than you have deserved for us. But now as we come before you, transform our hearts again. Transform our hearts again. Oh, transform our hearts again. To be receptive to your word. To be receptive to your word. To be receptive to God. You will yearn for him. We will not rush into his presence and rush out. But dwell in his presence. To assess life. As we go before God again. Yearn for his presence. Desire for an encounter with him. Dwell in his presence. Dwell there. Drink from him. My Lord, Lord, energizing holy ransomware. Father, we desire for you. We desire for your presence. We want to cultivate the habit of staying right before you. Assessing life. Drinking from you. Lord, transform our hearts. This is our desire. That we will be in your presence always and always. As your word have come to us, O God, may we cultivate the habit of staying in your presence, preparing our hearts, coming before you in reverence and in expectation. And we'll always leave your presence as people transform. We thank you for your servant you used to bless us. Father, continue to fill him in and fill him again. And when we encounter him, we'll receive what you have given unto us. May your holy name be glorified, even now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
My spirit.